Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Kul Alahim, Daughters of Yisrael. I'm your host today, Malka, coming to you from Beth Yahweh Assembly in Baltimore, Maryland. A pleasure to be back on the air with you all. Really excited about continuing through our lesson of the virtuous woman, looking at it from, as we discussed prior weeks, from the Hebrew Aleph Bet. Like we've mentioned before, these verses that we study were written with a different Hebrew letter starting off the verse, and the Father in His wisdom has led us to examine these verses along with the word that starts off the verse, and specifically the letter that starts off these verses. Because we know everything the Father does has wisdom in it, and nothing is done without intent, without purpose, with Yah. Scripture says holy men wrote as they were moved by the set-apart spirit. And we believe that the writer of Proverbs 31 was moved by the set-apart spirit when he, being King Shlomo, wrote these 22 verses. So we're going to pick up today at verse 22. I'm going to just open up my scriptures to that verse and introduce it, and then we'll walk through it as we've been doing for these past couple weeks. I pray everyone is feeling good. Those who are joining us on the air or over internet, feeling good. Always an honor to bring forth the word of the Most High. Always a joy to get revelation and to get understanding from His word. And I always like to share. So it's a privilege to share the word of the Most High according to as He has revealed it to my limited understanding. As the verse 22 reads, she makes herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. When we read this verse, the first thing the way the human mind processes information is that we just take things on a physical level first, because that's the easiest for us to digest. So when we read this verse, we can imagine that this woman is clothed as a material today as it was in ancient days, because it's very time consuming to produce silk, and purple has always been a color of majesty. So we have a sense of royalty with this woman in verse 22. But verse, the beginning of the verse says that she makes herself coverings of tapestry. The word for she makes is a word that begins with the letter mem, we're up to mem, and the word is marbadim, marbadim. And it literally means covering. We did about coverings because we want to start thinking, getting the habit of thinking more as ancient, our ancient foreparents thought, which was function. So when we think about a covering, what should come to mind is a protection, because what a covering is, it protects whatever it is. If we're enclosed, our bodies from the outside environment, if it's a home, it protects our being from the outside environment. In a matter of authority, it protects us overall by having a covering, whether it's the elder of the assembly, your husband, or your father. What I like about this verse is that it says she makes, and the first thing that comes to my mind again is that this is a verb. So we said with some form of action. This word begins with a mem. When we think about the mem in the Hebrew pictograph, it is a picture of water. When we think about water, there's some positive and some negative things about water that we can glean about this woman, and again, what we can walk away with through this lesson. When we think about water, we can think about that the letter mem, when we put it at the beginning of a word, and I'm going to connect this back to water, it can mean a collection of something, because water is always surrounded by something. You know, it always has edges around it. So when we think about the letter mem, we think about a collection of something or a gathering of something. Think about borders, okay? So when we think about this woman who is coverings, what she is doing or what we can apply to our walk, we being that sense of protection over our families, we being that covering, not in a sense of authority, because we know in a household, whether it's your husband or the father in the home, that's the ultimate covering. Mashiach is the ultimate covering. But we are that, and we'll see that more as we go throughout these next couple of verses. But we are that surrounding. We surround the family. We kind of keep guarding, on guard of our family. But something else about this mem, because when you think about a collection of something, you think about that things that might be separate being brought together or being unified. So we can see that this woman, this Eshetchayah, she's a unifier. And I know in most families, usually it is the woman that plays the role of peacemaker. Not always, but usually. If there's some kind of conflict between family members or children, it's usually they go to their mother. They go to their wives to help, for help, to get some kind of some resolution to unify the family. We studied the word im, which is the root of ima, and we saw that when we broke it down between the two letters of the root, the aleph and the mem, that we got the understanding of strong water, which we can think about strong water as a glue. Eshetchayah, she's a unifier. She's a strong water, that glue that holds the family together. This is what she does. She's already been created to be one with her Ish, but then she also has this special emotional and spiritual bond with her children, if she has children. Significant about this word, Marbadim, is that it also ends in amen. And as I was considering that, we talked about earlier when the mem is in front of something, it functions as a prefix and it can mean the gathering or the collection of something. But when a mem is at the end of a word, it functions as a suffix. And it means that something is plural. So what I saw in this, that this virtuous woman, when she is walking out the function of this verse, she's balanced. Whatever she's doing is balanced. Because we have the mem at the beginning and we have the mem at the end. And in ancient pictograph is that same picture of the water. So these are some of the positive connotation of the mem. But then how can this spirit of the mem be perverted? Because like we've been discussing, just to reiterate for anyone who's just joining the lesson today, is that there's two sides to a coin in everything. The word says that Yah said he created light and formed the darkness. Meaning when you create one thing, its opposite is there except when it comes to the Most High, because there is no opposite to the Most High. That the enemy is not the opposite of the Most High. There's nothing equal to him, so there's nothing opposite of him. The only thing that I could say the closest thing to opposite of the Most High is death, because he is life. But we want to make sure that as we're walking out and manifesting these attributes, that we don't pervert it. So how can we pervert the letter mem or the spirit of the mem? Again, let's consider water. One of the negatives of water is that it's very unstable. It's an unstable product because it moves easily. It has really no stability, even if it's ice, unless it's kept in the subcontinent temperatures. And the subcontinent where the temperatures are very, very low, it's always melting. It's not a constant firmness to it. It changes forms. So we don't want to be that kind of person that is wishy-washy, for lack of a better term, where there's no stability in our lives, stability in our families. We're being tossed to and fro in our understanding. We're halting between two opinions. Because believe it or not, when we do that, especially as women, in a household, you cause instability to those around you. And this goes the same way if it's a husband who's unstable. Instability is not a secure position for anyone to have to live with. Not if it's the husband that's doing it, that's not a good thing for the wife and children. If the wife that's doing it is not good for the husband or the children, it's not a good thing to be. So even as we try to walk out being this covering and this glue and holding the family together, we don't want to become unstable. We don't want to always be changing easily because there's no stability in our thinking and our thoughts. All right, let's go on to verse 23. It says, her husband is known in the gate when he sits among the elders of the land. Now, when we hear the term husband, I would want to interject this because not everyone that listens is a wife. But if you are in a household with your father, then you want to also be mindful that you can use your father in that position, because that's all it is. It's a position of authority in your home, whether it's your husband or it's your father. But this word, when it says her husband, the word is, this is another thing, in the English it starts off her husband, but in the Hebrew it is thought of with the word that means her husband. In the Hebrew it starts off with no da, which is actually the second word in the Hebrew, which is known. So the focus of this verse is the knowing, okay? But not just the knowing of herself, but this is because of something she's doing that her head is known. When we look at the word noda, literally, when we look at the pictographs, we have the nun, which means continue. We have the waw, which is a conjunction, which means, you know, to connect the two. So, and then we have the word da, which is the dalet and the ayin, which means knowledge or to know. So literally, just by looking at the Hebrew pictograph, this word, we can get the understanding that continuing to be known. The letter that this word begins with is the nun, the letter nun. And that's a picture of a seed. Those who are familiar with biology, you ever saw a picture of a sperm? Exactly what the nun looks like. It has a head and then it has a tail. That's a picture of a seed, because that's exactly what a sperm is. A sperm is a seed. The woman receives the seed. So what is this that is continuing in this woman of nobility, this Eshes Chayil? What is continuing in her? What's continuing in her is that good seed that brings forth good fruit. And when we say good, not saying it's good because it's pleasant to the taste or it makes you feel good, but because it is a functional seed. We have received a functional seed by the Most High, and we're producing functional fruit, meaning that others can come and share from what we are bearing. In Galatians, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love. So when we see someone is bearing these fruits, we know that they are productive. They have received the good fruit, and they're producing behind that good fruit. But this is where it connects to the authority in the house, because the fact that you are continuing in bearing the good seed and bringing forth the good fruit, that now reflects back on our husband and our father's reputation. Their reputation is impacted by our behavior. See, and the reputation that we want is what we're studying today throughout these past couple of weeks. We want that reputation of being that virtuous woman. We also want the reputation of being that Titus 2 woman. Let me visit that real quick, and I will read it. I'm going to go to Titus chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 3 to 5, because this is the fruit we want to produce, because we have received good seed. Verse 3 says, "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness." Okay, what we're getting ready to discuss is manifested behaviors. Not what you feel or what you think, but this is how you are behaving. You're not a false accuser. You're not given to much wine. You teach functional things that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, functional, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of Yah be not blasphemed. This is the reputation that we want to have, because verse 5 says, when we don't do these things, we are actually threat of blaspheming the word of Yah. And the scripture says that the seed is the word. That's the connection to the nun. Are we receiving the word of Yah in our hearts? And are we bearing fruit? Because that's what this virtuous woman is doing. And as she bears fruit, it brings glory and honor to the man of authority in her life, where he is known, where he sits among the other elders. So we ask ourselves, do our behavior as wives and daughters, as mothers, do our behavior bring a good reputation to our fathers and husbands? Something else that came to me as I was studying this word, as the Father was showing me this word, just taking it for face value, continue to know. You know that nun and that da'a, continue to know. We should continue to learn about our fathers and our husbands. Continue to study them. Continue to know their likes and dislikes, you know, so that you can know how to please them as well as how to not do things that displeases them. And that goes right back to the father, because we know that that position, they only represent the father. And the scriptures teach us over and over again how we should seek the father and seek his face and learn of him, because we want to know what pleases him. Take a look at how can this be perverted? How can this continual knowledge, or the seed that is bearing fruit in us, how can this be perverted? We're going to go to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start at verse 24. We're going to read to 28, just the first clause of 28. Hallelujah. And the word says, this is our master, Yahushua, speaking. He says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed functional seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didn't we sow functional seed in your field? Where did the tares come from? Verse 28, he said unto them, an enemy has done this. I'm going to stop right there. Because what we want to be mindful of is what's being sown in our hearts. What seed is being planted in our hearts as women? So there is a wicked seed out there. The only thing the adversary has power to do is to counterfeit. He is not a creator. He has no power except what the Father allows him to do and the power that we give to him in our own walk. But we have to know that there is an enemy out there that is planting dysfunctional seeds. And we have to prune our gardens. The same way you have a garden, you go out there, you take out the weeds, you same thing you got to do within ourselves when we see it. But this is something else that came to mind as I'm talking now, is there's things that have been sown in us, knowledge that's been sown in us from prior to coming to the Most High that we're still walking in. We're continuing in the knowledge of things that is not of the Father. We're still walking in certain behaviors and certain thought processes and habit, and we're continuing in these things that is not of the good or the functional seed. So we have to examine ourselves to really see, are we still bringing to light this dysfunctional seed that was already planted in us before we came to Yah, because we want to get rid of it. And because this verse is connected to the husband, Another way we can pervert this, the spirituality of this word, is by having the reputation of a dysfunctional wife or dysfunctional daughter, because it's going to reflect back on your head. One of the worst things that a wife can do to her husband is to be unfaithful, to suffer him to live through adultery. Even though it can be forgiven and marriages can be restored, but it is something that a man that hurts his reputation, because then thoughts go through, you know, for whatever reason, he's not a good husband. So she had to go somewhere else to get whatever need met because her husband was lacking in something. And in scripture, we also have examples of daughters. How when a daughter commits fornication in her father's house, that's a shame. I think it's in the Apocrypha where it says, it talks about the shame of a father if his daughter is found pregnant in his house. And that happens all the time in today's society. And it's just something that I think a lot of us just accept. You know, your daughter gets a certain age and she comes up pregnant, you're not too upset because you kind of expected it. But in our way of life, that is a shame. That's a shame to a father. Another thing that's a shame to a father is giving your daughter to a husband and the husband refusing her, saying there's some uncleanliness in this daughter. All these things affect the reputation of our husbands and our fathers, of our elders, and ultimately of the Most High, because we are his children. And we don't want to bring shame to him. We want to do things that's going to bring glory to him. So that's verse 23. All right, let's go back and pick up at verse 24. Okay. All right. Verse 24 reads, she makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchant. And again, a face value is just kind of hints at her being a businesswoman and being productive, being talented, because not everyone can make things and be able to profit from it. The word here that begins this verse is sadin. Sadin. And this is begins with the letter Zamech. Sadin in your Hebrew concordance is numbers 5, 4, 6, 6. And basically it just means it's like a nightshirt. You know? It's a covering, a clothes covering, but it's specifically something that, you know, a big billowy shirt that you wear, you know, to bed. And this kind of connects back with verse 22 when we read about the covering that she was making. You know, we have that same thought of protection. But we see that more when we look at the letter in the pictograph. That Zamech in the pictograph is actually a picture of a thorn branch, if you can look at it. You know, it looks like a thorn branch. When we think about a thorn branch, we think about that there's the father has put the wisdom in a rose bush. That's the first thing that comes to my mind as far as a vegetation that has thorns. And for you to pluck a plant, you have to get down to the stem and be able to break it off. Now, when I was growing up in Brooklyn, my father had really made our yard look beautiful, absolutely beautiful. We had this really nice garden in the backyard where he grew all kinds of vegetables and herbs. And then around the perimeter of our driveway and our lawn,
he planted rose bushes of all different colors, different kinds of flowers. He had one tree that every spring would just blossom these big white-headed flowers. I don't even know the name of it, but it was just beautiful. We had, to me, growing up, the most beautiful lawn yard on the entire block. But we learned growing up which plants or which flowers to pluck. We pluck it and bring it aside for our mom and say, you know, give her a flower, token of love. But we learned which flowers not to pluck, because there were some that didn't have thorns. Then there were some where the thorns were really kind of dull. But then they had some that had some really big, sharp thorns. And it just so happened that those were the roses that were the most beautiful. The most beautiful roses had that extra protection around it. So you would, after the first try, you learn just to leave those alone. You don't even bother with it, you know, because you don't want to go through the suffering of getting stabbed by those big thorns. Which we have, you know, that could be a whole other lesson right there of how the Father protects us and keeps his hedge about us. But we want to personalize this. We want to manifest this. Because two things about the thorn is that it's a protection, a form of protection for the object, but it also inflicts pain or discomfort on someone else. So we might think, well, that's a negative. That wouldn't be a positive. But it is a positive at times to inflict pain and discomfort on others. We're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians. Because we want to be able to apply this concept of being a thorn, manifesting a thorn, or manifesting the qualities of a thorn. So let's take a look at something, 2 Corinthians 12:7 real quick. It says, and this is Brother Shaul talking, he says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Hasatan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So right here we see that how a thorn is a positive thing. See, Shaul suffered with a sickness. The scriptures show that he had with him at times, I believe it was Luke, because Luke was a physician. And throughout some of the epistles, they would speak about his health. But this was something that Yah allowed to keep him humble. When we look at the word buffet, it is number 2852, and it means to strike with the fist. Now, we might be thinking to ourselves, when would it be appropriate for me to buffet somebody? It's not going to be pleasant, but it's going to be necessary. So what we have to do is we have to learn how to buffet in love. And it's nothing that we have to figure out for ourselves, because the word is our instruction book. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. And we're going to just read the first verse. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. So it takes humility, and it also takes discernment for you to realize that a brother or a sister, and I have to include if your husband, if your father, if you're listening to the man, if your wife, if your daughter, if you are witnessing that they're being taken over in a fault. Our teacher, Shaul, says that we are to restore make them whole again in a spirit of meekness because we want them to get back on the right track. This takes humility. This takes discernment. We are called to be watchmen, and we're going to use again a couple more verses now. We're supposed to be our brother's keeper, and this is not an easy thing to do. Because sometimes when we correct a brother or a sister, if we correct a spouse or a child, they respond negatively. The scripture says a wise man loves correction. A wise man or a wise person loves correction. But sometimes in our flesh, we hate it. Our carnality hates being corrected because we already think we are right. We already think that everything we do is correct. So when someone comes to correct us, if we are being moved by our flesh, we get this attitude of who you think you are or how dare you, or we get to justify. Rarely do we see that when correction is given, the recipient receives it in love and humility. It's not easy. We are each other's keeper. This morning, I received, saw a young lady with a T-shirt. It says, "I am my sister's keeper." And this is what we are for one another. We cannot stand idly by and watch each other just get kicked around by the adversary. And what I also see a lot is we'll see it and we'll talk about what they're going through with other people instead of going to that person and saying, "Hey, I see you going through something." Instead of saying, "Hey, I see so-and-so struggling with something, I'm going to talk to her. Can you and I agree in prayer before I go talk to her or go talk to him or talk to my husband or talk to my wife?" But what we do is we stand about and we talk, we gossip about what we see them going through instead of being a help to them. If we see people being overtaken, and we can see the signs of someone being overtaken, you don't see them much anymore. You don't see them at fellowship. You don't see them at study. You don't see them at worship. You don't hear from them. That's supposed to signal alarms in our head that my brother or my sister is under attack. Let me go and restore them. Let me be the hands of Yah to uplift my brother or my sister. All right, let's get back to this. Sadin. That thorn, the zamech, the thorn. A negative of being a thorn, obviously, is that you're always being a thorn. In other words, you are an abrasive woman. Abrasive. I want you to get an idea of what it feels like to be around someone who is abrasive. I want you to imagine that you're taking a scouring pad. And just imagine taking a scouring pad and just using that to rub against your face. That's abrasive. And this is what we can become if we are all, see, there is such thing as a thorn bush. There's no flowers on a thorn bush. It is just all thorns. You know what thorn bushes are good for? One thing, keeping things out, pushing things away, whether it's animals or humans. We see mankind have manufactured thorn bushes. They're called barbed wires. You see them all over the prison. No one gets in, no one gets out. We don't want to become a thorn bush. We don't want to be so abrasive that we push people away from us. Because guess what we do? If you're pushing people, if you are so abrasive that no one wants to be around you, you might have something really valuable to share. But because you're so abrasive, no one wants to be around you long enough. And there's different ways of being abrasive. One way that comes to my mind is the scripture talks about, you know, greeting your friend in the morning with a loud voice. Now, you think you're doing something good because you're greeting your friend, but it's early in the morning and you're being loud. Sometimes just the tone of our voice is abrasive, and it makes people just want to be like, whoa. Also, being a thorn is having that kind of personality where you just suck at being around you. It's just tiring. It's draining. All of these are forms of being abrasive. Now, Shane, we don't want to be that kind of person. We don't want to be that kind of person like, oh, my goodness, so-and-so is here, or so-and-so called, or you see his or her number, oh, no. I don't have the energy to deal with that person. So let's not fall into that trap of being abrasive. Okay. Let's go back. We're going to read verse 25. Okay. Verse 25 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. I really like that verse because it gives this woman of virtue hope. And sometimes that's what we need as women, because we are nurturers. That's what the Father created us to be. We are always giving of ourselves. And sometimes we sit back and say, well, when will someone tend to me? When will I receive some of what I give? This Shabbat, I was talking to a sister, and just talking to her, and, you know, she asked how I was doing, and shared with her the busyness and, you know, of my personal life. Hey, it is what it is. I give Yah the glory for giving me the strength to do what I do every day, and not just me. My husband works very hard. Many of the people work very hard. Just as for me, I know how much, you know, I expend as far as mental energy and physical energy and putting yourself on the back burner just to take care of certain things. So I'm just sharing this with the sister because, you know, she asked. And she said, Do you want me to pray? Do you want to pray? And I was kind of like, yeah. She was like, well, you want to pray now? And I was like, sure. And she just sat there and prayed for me. She was ministering to me. And that doesn't happen too often. And it felt good. So this verse is telling us that in time to come, the Father is going to give us the opportunity to relax, to rejoice, to be at peace, to be ministered to. Because as we've read these verses that we've been going through for the past couple of weeks, this virtuous woman is not a lazy woman. She's doing a lot. She's the biblical superwoman. And even though she has all of these attributes, she's still a human being. And she still tires. And she still gets worn out. And unless she commits to taking care of herself, it can affect her health, her peace of mind. But Yah is telling her, that time to come, you will rejoice. So for all of my Eshes Chayos out there who's burning candle at both ends and on their grind, like they say, your time to rejoice will come
The Father tells us that. So let's take a look at the first word in the Hebrew that is, that talks about to introduce our next letter. The word here is strength. Strength and honor are her clothing. We spend so much time trying to look a certain way, physically, that we don't think about how making strength and honor your covering. Does that be what people see in you rather than that nice skirt set or that nice pair of earrings or those nice shoes? You know, that's not the glory we want. The glory we want, but it contributes back to the vanity of women. But the glory we want should be that you are clothed in strength and honor. Because that way, when you receive it, it goes back to the Father. It goes to Yah. But anyway, let's continue. All right. The word here is Oz. Oz. And it's made up of two Hebrew letters. The root word is two Hebrew letters. It's the Ayin and the Zayin. And this word by itself means strong. The Ayin in the pictograph is the picture of an eye. And the Zayin is a picture of a, it's called a matak, which is the an instrument of agriculture, a farming instrument. So it's the implication is some kind of a weapon. So when we take these two letters together, we can get strong I. And we think about the eye, not only to physically see, but spiritually to see. How's your perception? Are you strong when it comes to being able to see things that's not actually there? Are you able to perceive? Okay, this is the eye. What is the health of your spiritual eye? The scripture says, if the eye is sound, then the whole body is sound, to paraphrase. See, our eyes is anything that can enter into the mind, any way that something can enter into the mind, or the heart, the spirit of a person, that is considered a gate. And the most, the quote-unquote, the widest gate that we have to enter within us, I'm going to say, is our eyes. Because that's how we perceive everything that's going on around us. And everything that we see enters into our brain. The brain has to go through and register, discard, save, file, short-term memory, long-term memory. The brain is constantly processing things that we see, things that we even realize that we saw. So how strong is your eye gate? But not only are we looking at it from a sense of having, you know, being strong in perception. The word here literally means strength. So it's not so much that this woman is just strong, but she has the ability to strengthen and uplift others. That's not an easy thing to do. When you are around someone who might be under a spirit of depression or grief or sadness, for you to go in there and be able to uplift their spirit is not easy. It takes strength. Let's take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and we're going to just read verse 19. It says, wisdom strengthens the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. Perception, having that strong perception, is equal to being wise. And we know all through the scriptures that whenever wisdom is spoken of, it's always spoken of with the feminine pronoun. We want to have that spirit of wisdom, not only for us to perceive what's going on around us, but to also be able to perceive people that might need to be strengthened, might need to be uplifted. We want to, like we said, protect what comes into the eye. Because when we look at these two letters, we have a picture of an eye, we have a picture of a weapon. So now let's think about it as guarding the eye. Now we have to ask ourselves, do we protect what enters in our eye gate? Or do we just allow whatever it is that we want to see or read to enter into our eye gate? Are we protecting it the way we're supposed to? Very important that we do that. We're going to take a look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. The word of Yah says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So this is why we have to protect what enters into our eye gate, because this is how lust is developed. A lot of times, how covetousness is developed, because we're not protecting that eye gate. And now we see things. We saw from the beginning, Yah said in his word, I tell the end from the at the beginning, in Isaiah 46:10. We see it in Hawa, in the garden, where she saw. And because of what she saw in the fruit made her disobey the word of the Most High. So these are kind of, these are the things that we want to walk out as being this virtuous woman walking out the iron of being wise, having that strong perception, and also protecting what enters into the eye gate, hence entering into the heart of man. A negative of this iron obviously is having a lack of perception. Let's take a look at Acts 28. And we're going to go down to verse 26. And scripture says, saying, go unto the people and say, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and not perceive. We don't want to be that type of people. We don't want to be that type of woman that sees things, especially when it pertains to the Most High in His Word, equally as it pertains to a deficiency in your behavior or character. We don't want to be able, we don't want to see and not perceive. The reason why in Scripture we hear, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And most of the people have ears. So we can do the same thing. He who has eyes to see, let him see, or let her perceive. When we are not protecting our eye gate, we lose the ability to discern what's going on around us. We lose the ability to know what needs to be done. The original meaning of this word strength, a negativity, would be us as women trusting in our own strength. Scripture says in Proverbs 3 to trust in Yah. Stop right there. That's where our trust belongs. That's the core of our strength and our power. So we don't want to become strong in our might, but to be strong in Yah. And we can tell that by looking how easily do we delegate things to other people. Do we overcommit ourselves to things because we don't want to say no because we think I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. You know, we don't want to become that type of person. Well, I'm going to stop there. I thought I would have gotten up to at least 27 today, but that's okay. We will, y'all willing, finish up the lesson next week. And I want to share something before I go. We here in Baltimore, we are having a mother-daughter tea, and I'm inviting this to inviting my listeners who are on the line to participate in this mother-daughter tea. This is our second year of doing this. Last year we did it, but it was more for our assembly and actually the family, but now we're extending this to any kingdom woman. We're celebrating generations of mothers and daughters in the spirit of Titus 2. And the verse that we read earlier is our underlying theme, that strength and majesty are her clothing. The tea is June 14th. That's on a Sunday from 2 to 6 p.m. We will be at the Best Western's Plus Hotel, Towson North, 1100 Cromwell Bridge Road in Towson, 21286. Tickets are $25 for adults. Children 4 to 12 or 10, and children 4 and under are free. If you have any questions about this event, questions for purchasing tickets, or an inquiry about ticket prices, please reach out to our sister, Famaria. Her phone number is 410-610-3557 for tickets, or you can even register on Eventbrite, which is a website. We're going to have vendors there. We're going to have an elegant buffet. We're going to have a magnificent and delicious dessert bar. We're going to have music and dancing, entertainment, generational photo, and many more. Again, if anyone would like to purchase tickets, you can visit our Facebook page also, Kul Alhim, KulAlhim on Facebook. Or call Sister Somalia at 410-610-3551. And this is for brothers, daughters, grandmothers, aunts, nieces, any female member of the family. You don't have to come with a brother. You can come with your niece. You can come with your neighbor's daughter. We're just trying to gather up the daughters of Yah in the spirit of celebrating generations of women that have been strong walls for one another. Again, that date is June 14, 2015, and that is on a Sunday. Until next time, family, I thank you for spending time with me. I pray for the word of the Most High, that He brings understanding and wisdom to the knowledge that He has bestowed upon all of us. Join us again next week, y'all willing, and hopefully, prayerfully, we will close out just this feeling, and we're going to move into something a little more practical as far as applying it to our day-to-day lives today. It is going to be something that we glean from the Titus 2 women. Until next time, family, as always, thank you and shalom.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. All the glory belongs to you. Oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
You, oh God.
All the glory belongs to you.
Oh God. Yeah, yeah.
Our desire to give your name the highest praise today. So we say,
hallelujah.
Yeah.